Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get
BB!
We get BB!
Boom, BB!
Boom,
BB!
Hale Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you on a Tuesday. Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, producing, co-hosting, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore back tomorrow, and we may have him Thursday. For Christmas, I bought TJ a Trank gun. I got one for myself, so we'll just Trank Big J-Bird. So he's here Thursday.
We kind of got a matching button-ups going here.
We
a little
do.
Plaid action.
It's raining plaid. Yeah. At least it's bearable outside.
Yeah, finally.
That means you can get down to PBA tonight.
You're darn right.
It's not cold as a witch's outside. And
yeah.
Go have a cocktail and go support Nebraska against Southern.
Mm-hmm.
TJ Henning with a full Southern scout and breakdown coming up on the show. Mitch Sherman will be with us in 15 minutes of ESPN.com. If you didn't read Mitch's story on Dana Holgorsen, or the Skullet, as we call him, got to do it. Pretty good stuff. We'll talk some Nebraska, Tennessee with Mitch. Day two of who's not playing in the bowl game continues. We should spin the wheel. Now, the question about
who's next?
Yeah, who's next? It might be Nebraska's safety, Nate Gary. And he's not sitting out for any NFL reason. We don't know if he's out at all. But reports as practice got done about an hour or so ago, Mike Riley asked, and this is from the World Herald, if the rumors were true, is Nate Gary out for the bowl game? And Coach Riley's response, I can't comment. So that's not a yes, that's not a no. But you've maybe heard the rumors swirling around. If you don't have Nate Gary against Tennessee, that isn't a good thing. Your quarterback will get you a full practice update, courtesy of HaleVarsity.com, here in a second. But Mitch Sherman coming up, Kevin Suits, 10-11 Sports in 1 hour. And then standout Husker basketball, volleyball, football aficionado Jacob Padilla of Hale Varsity going to be with us shortly. Him and Sip been going back and forth and forth and back on Twitter about Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette. And now, hey, if you had Shaq Linwood in the office pool that I know you started of the next college football player to skip the bowl game, come on down. You're working your way towards bingo. So that is what we'll get into. We'll also talk a little bit about Rutgers. I vowed never to do that. But they've been cheating, and they've been this bad. Kind of harkens me back to the old Southwest Conference days when Rice or Baylor or somebody would buy a quarterback, and that quarterback was still no good. You cheated, you got caught, and you still won only three games. Talking about your Rutgers comment.
Oh, man.
They still suck, and they cheated bad. So we'll get into that.
Yeah,
who is that calling in?
Oh, he had a comment about the Nate Gary, but I set him straight a little bit.
Okay.
He's not planning to skip the game.
No.
It might be something else than that.
No. So I thought I was pretty clear on that.
Yeah. I think he said he got a little help himself.
No to the, it's not an NFL thing with Nate.
No.
We don't know if he's playing or not because there was no comment from Coach Riley. Think about this for a second before we get into a practice.
Although
report.
He's not sold on Nate Gary being a very good NFL guy, the caller.
Well, what's he been watching? Last year's tape or this year's tape? I know there's both stories, but there's 3 years of really good tape. And Pro Football Focus seems to think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, good opinion, whatever. Different opinion.
Yep.
I think Nate will be solid in the NFL. How would you react if Go back in Husker history. This isn't Sun Bowl time we're talking, circa the late 70s against Texas Tech. That might have been Blue Bonnet, but just walk with me here. How would Nebraska fans have reacted if Mike Rozier said, screw it, I'm not playing in the Orange Bowl. Dean Steinkuhler, I'm not playing in the Orange Bowl. Irving Fryer, I'm not playing in the Orange Bowl. Amon Green, I'm not playing in the Orange Bowl. Grant Wistrom, Jason Peter, I'm not playing in the Orange Bowl.
Can you say crazed fan base?
Well, no, that's what we have now. Okay? Think if this actually was an issue at Nebraska. Would you have the same stance of support towards Fournette or McCaffrey? I think that's a fair question.
Yeah.
It's all good as long as it's not one of yours.
Oh, for sure.
Not playing.
But also if the stakes of the game. If they're playing for the chips like they were in the mid-90s, yeah. They wouldn't even think about not playing.
They came back to play.
Yeah, they came back to play.
Okay, so let's... Okay. We should call the guy and ask him, but I can see what the response would be if Amir Abdullah's sitting across from us. Hey, Amir, would you rethink it playing against Georgia? And I can see him, like, staring at me. I can see Searle I can see them just, like, trying to burn a hole through me because of that question.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wanted to go out. And quite honestly, I mean, Amir came back to improve his stock or maintain it, first day guy. And he needed to show he could hold on to the football.
Mm-hmm.
He did against an SEC team.
Yeah. Although I was in the camp, I thought Amir should leave early just because running backs' lives are so short. And anything could happen, but, you know.
Yeah. Ask Marlon Lucky if he should have left early.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It worked out well for Brandon Jackson. Okay, practice report. Here we are. Okay. So you had Langsdorf talk after practice and Coach Banker talk a little bit. So some news and notes. One, the quarterback situation is still... I don't even want to use the word murky. I would bet my money and your money that Riker will start and play most of it. Tommy Armstrong still in street clothes today. Tommy Armstrong, they have not ruled him out as far as I can read into things. The timeline right now, there is no timeline from Coach Langsdorf. They leave Sunday. So he's going to need to get a practice in, I would think, before you leave for Rocky Top land. And I don't know if that'll happen.
Yeah, timeline, but he's running out of time.
Yeah, he's running out. But a week ago they asked him that, and the insinuation was, well, he needs to practice if he wants to play. That's how I read into it. And he, quite frankly, isn't able to practice with this hamstring. So Tommy Armstrong in street clothes, didn't have Marcus Newby. And right now Riker is still unable to take snaps under center. Langsdorf did talk about next year's quarterback battle and that being okay. So there is that. The biggest thing that Banker spent time on today was how well his defense improved, because he was asked about it from a big play standpoint. And also the excitement level, not as you're kicking guys out the door, but the linebacker question. And you've got a guy like Chris Weber that was tremendous a year ago, and you have a really solid starting point for him as a senior. Once Bando's gone, your outside linebackers, Dedrick Young and Newby, but you got some young guys that might be a little bit faster on that outside. And you got the kid out of Rhode Island or New Hampshire, help me out here, coming in, the recruit.
Oh, Avery Roberts?
Yes.
Yeah, Roberts. From Delaware, I believe.
I was thinking small states.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. From the Blue Hen State. Roberts, I wouldn't be surprised if he challenges for starting time on the outside. So there's your practice report, and Nebraska's formula for a win against Tennessee is very simple. Protect your quarterback, run the football. Are you going to be able to do either one of those at a decent level against a really good front four? If they can do that, they can still maybe pull this off. But the reality is this. There's a high level of injured quarterback, Riker starting, super injured quarterback, Tommy Armstrong, not ruled out yet. So those are your known variables. Your either quarterback you have is hurt. One's really hurt. And then you're starting safety. No comment from Coach Riley today. And if you don't have a guy like Nate Gary against a team with the speed and athleticism and change of direction that Tennessee has on offense, I mean, this thing's not looking great.
Hmm.
It's not looking great at all. And here's a fair question too. I mean, going into this thing, you got to ask yourself, who's this game bigger for? And the more I step away for 2 seconds and then really focus, this is Tennessee's ass.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, sorry to be graphic there, but this seriously, really it is. I mean, if you're Butch, who's to say you don't lose your job the next day if you don't beat Nebraska 2 hours from your home? An undermanned, depleted Nebraska. You've rolled 2 Big Ten teams the last 2 years.
Yep.
You've already played with fire and lost when all you had to do was beat your awful rival Vanderbilt to get to a Sugar Bowl, to get to a New Year's Day 6 payday. All you had to do was beat Vanderbilt. You'd started the year off beating the rivals. Momentum was great. You played A&M well, and you lost, and you lost to Bama. And then you checked out. And you had your top guy Hurd quit. So it's so much more. I mean, Nebraska fans will disagree here. But I think if you look at both programs right now, you're Nebraska, you're 9-3. You truly get to do what you want to do on offense once this bowl game's done. And you have some guys back on defense, some young guys back on defense. So plus the recruiting cycle. So it's important momentum-wise for Nebraska to win back and kind of shift this lull, this Iowa taste in your mouth feel you have. But if you're Tennessee, they could make a move. They could make a change. Mm-hmm. And you're way too talented. You had too many NFL dudes on that roster. You got too much experience at quarterback. You have too many stud skill guys. And you're at home to not win this.
And I think to give this game a little juice, since there is a lot of juice lacking right now, would be because you have both quarterbacks hurt. Let's see what the other quarterback we recruited, what he can do in Darlington. I'm sure he's been getting a lot of snaps in prep for this game. I think
they're going to move him back to receiver
the
next
day.
No, I agree.
But look, we're changing offenses anyways. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're moving on to different quarterbacks. I kind of want to just see it. Let's see what Darlington can do for one game.
I'd love to see Darlington play quarterback.
Yeah. It'd be great for him after suffering that traumatic injury, going back there to start a final game.
Well, I mean, I don't know that it's ideal. And with Riker at quarterback, I mean, you can still sprinkle in some run game with him. You can probably do a little bit. I mean, I don't know Darlington's 40 time. I mean, you can still do a little bit with him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your game plan is going to be your game plan, and that's something Langsdorf said again today. There'll probably be some quarterback run. I mean, Tommy ran it 10, 12 times a game. And when he was right, it was so effective. And the timing of the run call by Langsdorf for Armstrong, 9 times out of 10, worked well. It was beautiful. And it worked well against Maryland to get a pretty key first down to make that score 21-7. So, listen, my optimism, there's your practice report. We'll get into Nebraska basketball, too. But my optimism for this is absolutely waning. Something fierce. Just because of your injury situation, just because of where you're playing, because of who you're playing, how dangerous Tennessee can be, and what's at stake for Tennessee. You're 8-4 now. You're top 8 in the country at one point. You went on a Hail Mary and you lose in overtime from being 6-0 and ranked in the top 5, honestly. The wheels, not just a wheel, all of them came off. So it's your brother's Jeep in the driveway with no wheels. It's on cinder blocks. That's how they finished the year. And now, forget hot seat next year for Butch at Tennessee. It could be a reality for Tennessee if they don't win this game. I'm not trying to go hyperbole here. I'm sincere with that because I think Tennessee fans already seen enough. They want results. They want success. They want championships. And they've been sold hope in recruiting the last couple of years with top 10 classes.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't finish and close a year ago against some top 10 teams. You were close. This year you started out well and you checked out against really bad opponents. You had to outscore Missouri and Kentucky to win. You lost to South Carolina and Muschamp, for God's sake. They forgot they beat Florida. They forgot they beat Virginia Tech. They forgot they beat Georgia. You got to go back to the old Sheriff era or T. Martin era when that happened. You crank out all those ones. They didn't even beat Florida during the Manning era. It's one team he couldn't beat. At Nebraska. All right. Off and running. Mitch Sherman up next. ESPN.com and Magazine. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Thanks for your time. Hope you're well. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. As we welcome in Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine. Happy holidays. Mitch, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Same to you. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Well, let's dive in a little bit here on Nebraska-Tennessee for a second before we talk McCaffrey, Fournette, Shaq Linwood. I mean, the trend that started earlier this week, but Nebraska and Tennessee getting ready for bowl prep. Still no really great news on Tommy Armstrong, where you have the thoughts that Riker will be the guy, and he still can't take snaps under center. Mike Riley today, per the World Herald, asked about the status of Nate Gary, and there was no comment there, so there's been some rumor kind of swirling around whether or not he is going to be able to play in the bowl game. And you have the job status and question marks about Tennessee right now, just based on the feel you get from some media out in Rocky Top land here. Who's this game bigger for, Mitch, Nebraska or Tennessee?
Oh, I'd have to say that it's probably bigger for – well, I mean, if there are different ways to look at it. And if you're looking at it from a coaching perspective, then I think it's bigger for Butch Jones than it is for Mike Riley. And I'm not diminishing the importance for Mike Riley, but Butch Jones is further along in his career track at Tennessee, and I think there's a little bit more unrest. And again, these things are all to be taken with perspective because mm-hmm. there was no doubt some unrest and still is in Nebraska after – the debacle against Iowa, but some time has passed since that, and I think there has been some understanding about, in part at least, why that happened, and with the revelation that Tommy Armstrong was hurt more than was let on leading up to that game, and that doesn't have anything to do with, or very little to do with Iowa scoring 40 points and ripping off big plays at a rate that we didn't see all year from the Hawkeyes. But all things considered, I think there is more urgency for Tennessee in this one to straighten out its season. 9-4 at Nebraska this year is not going to go down, would not go down as a major failure, or really a failure of any kind, considering that Nebraska was 6-7 a year ago. But it is an important game, nonetheless, for Nebraska, and one that the Huskers can stand to reap some benefits from if they're able to win.
So the Huskers are obviously moving on to some different quarterbacks come spring and next fall, and you got two quarterbacks hurt right now. and this game's missing a little juice. Like, if we got a little gusto, a little juice from seeing Zach Darlington, wouldn't you be more intrigued to see that? Like, what would we happen to have from our emergency quarterback in this final game?
I think it would make it interesting. I think it would give you a reason to want to watch. I hear you, but I don't mean that to say that there isn't already a reason to watch. You know, anytime Nebraska plays only 13, 14 games a year, so you enjoy all of them. Most days out of the year, most days out of the fall, they're not playing football games. So on a day where they are, there's a reason to watch. I just mean that if you've got a couple of quarterbacks here who are never going to again be in uniform, and neither one of them are close to being full speed, full strength for this game, then there would be some intrigue in bringing a guy off the bench who has never played the position at the college level. I don't know how long that intrigue would last, because I think we would learn fairly quick that Zach Darlington isn't ready to operate this offense at a high level. I think he would be limited in what he's able to do, and clearly the experience factor would weigh in too. So, and it's not as if Nebraska is going into the spring with Zach Darlington expected to be sitting there on the top line of the depth chart. You know, he may be a factor. I think many more people expect that he won't be as much of a factor as the two guys who will not play in this game, that being the transfer Tanner Lee and the redshirt Patrick O'Brien.
Mitch Sherman with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Mitch, what are your thoughts and what's your reaction to Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette, Shaq Linwood of Baylor now deciding to skip their bowl game in order to stay healthy for the NFL draft? Do you have a strong opinion one way or the other?
Yeah, my opinion is that it's okay. It's fine with me if they want to do that. That in the playoff era, and I think we talked a little bit about this last week, these games have been relegated to being something other than meaningful. And I think I would feel differently about it if it was Saquon Barkley from Penn State. Certainly if it was a guy who did not plan to go to the NFL after this game, if you had a freshman doing it, I think I would feel a lot differently about it. But for these guys, and especially the two prominent ones, Shaq Linwood is not as notable as the other two, though he's had a great Baylor career. He has not had a great senior season, and you know, he's been benched by his coach, and Baylor has lost six consecutive games. So really, everything that happens in that Motel 6 Cactus Bowl to me is somewhat relegated to status as unimportant. You know, mm-hmm. Baylor is turning the page on its program, and Matt Rhule is in there. And he's doing things or trying to do things that are a lot more important than whatever may happen in its bowl game against Boise State. The other two, while also not necessarily the most important games for their program, are more interesting because Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette are household names in college football and guys who came into this season expected to be Heisman Trophy contenders, and they both had injury issues, and they're both expected to be, I think, pretty big-time NFL players. I know they're both expected to be big-time NFL players. You're talking about first-round talents here. And I think it's hypocritical to criticize them too much. I don't like to see it as someone who watches college football and enjoys the game. I wish every team was at full strength come bowl season, and that included injured players and these kind of situations too. But that's not reality, and the reality is that there's a lot of money out there on the table for these guys, and you know, I don't necessarily take McCaffrey's statement at face value that he wants to get started on his NFL prep. I think he's doing this to avoid injury, and that's you know, it's fine with me. Those guys have given a lot to the game, and as many people have mentioned already, coaches are doing this and have been doing this for quite a while. Leaving their teams before bowl games. So if a player wants to do it and he's headed to the NFL on the next step of his journey, then by all means, go ahead if it's a game like this.
Curious then your thoughts, since you've covered the Big 12, Charles Walker, the defensive end from OU, who stopped playing after about three-fourths of the season then to get ready for the NFL draft.
Yeah, not as that's I have more of an issue with that for sure. I would say go ahead and skip your whole final year if you're going to do that. I mean, Oklahoma had a lot to play for throughout this season. It was perfect in 9-0 in Big 12 play. You know, while it may have been on the outside looking into that playoff conversation, there were scenarios that existed up until the final week in which Oklahoma could have been involved in playing for a national championship. So I'm not as okay with that. There is still some kind of a commitment, I think, at least within that locker room and within a program that's made by these guys. For me, it's something completely different to leave your team with one game remaining in an exhibition type setting of a second or third rate bowl game, as opposed to doing it in the middle of a football season.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, @MitchSherman on Twitter. Mitch, about 3 minutes here, a little less than your story on Dana Holgorsen. I loved reading it today, and spend a couple of seconds here, if you could, on just your sit down with Dana, your conversation with Dana, and does he feel, and I know he got an extension, but does he feel better now moving forward, like everyone's kind of behind him now support-wise?
Yeah, I think there were some concerns, and our sit-down happened over the phone, not to mislead anybody. I was on one end of the phone in Omaha, and he was on the other end in Morgantown, West Virginia, so as much of a sit-down as that can be. We had a good conversation a week or so ago when he went out on the road after the Baylor game, and the contract extension, 5 years, $18 million, was announced the day on December 3rd of West Virginia's last game. You know, to refresh people on West Virginia this year, it was a 10-2 season. Kind of came out of nowhere. West Virginia lost a lot last year, and I think there wasn't a ton expected from the Mountaineers nationally, and I think some of that doubt crept into the athletic department. Shane Lyons, who did not hire Dana Holgorsen, the athletic director at West Virginia, offered a contract extension after last season that did not necessarily meet Holgorsen's liking, and he opted to go ahead and coach this season on a very short contract. It was up, set to be up after next year. He had one year left at the end of this season on his contract, and that's a very unusual thing for a major college football coach or any college football coach to do. It's difficult in recruiting, and you know, while he put his head down and went about his business and said, I'm going to earn my extension with the way that my team plays this year, his coaches on the road when they talk to prospects through the spring and through this fall and the time that they were out and talking to players, you know, they encountered some questions, and rival recruiters, no doubt, Dana said this, and he knows this, used the fact that he was on a short contract against him, and it could have hurt West Virginia's program, and instead they turned it the other direction and used it as motivation, used the doubt as motivation, and they may have set themselves up well for the future. We'll find out. We certainly know that they've got a chance to win an 11th game this year in the Russell Athletic Bowl here in a couple weeks against Miami.
If you haven't read the story by Mitch on Dana Holgorsen, please do so. Find Mitch's work, ESPN.com, @MitchSherman on Twitter. Mitch, we'll talk to you after the bowl games, my man. We are off for bowl week on ESPN beginning Monday, so we will probably run you down after the second of the year or so.
That sounds great. You guys have a great holiday season, and Happy New Year.
You too. Thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
All right, take care.
Awesome stuff. Mitch Sherman there. So it was a sit-down with him and Dana. It was just over the phone, which works. We'll spend a couple more minutes here if you're not too... Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette, Shaq Linwood annoyed. We can spend a couple more minutes on that. Husker basketball thoughts as well. Hail Varsity continues.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Thanks for your time. Hope you're all right. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. On the way, Kevin Suits in about 25 minutes. Jacob Padilla of HailVarsity.com and Magazine. His thoughts on Nebraska practice, Nebraska basketball coming up. My thoughts on Sauter Heyman. Get there now for your holiday gift ideas. They're offering instant discounts and free trips with qualifying purchase now through December 31st. Get that significant other of yours the gift she really wants and a free trip to boot. How about that? Only the best it will do, and you'll find it at Sauter Heyman, 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion around West End, Grand Island. You can log on, sauterheyman.com, and when you walk in, instant discounts and your chance with qualified purchase on a free trip, Cancun or Vegas. Say yes. You'll love it. Sauter Heyman, sauterheyman.com. Okay, Nebraska basketball. TJ, is your preview ready for Southern? Let me ask you this. Are you going tonight? Or is that part of your future New Year's resolution to not see or attend Nebraska basketball games? The weather's going to be bearable, if not, we'll say balmy, comparatively speaking. I want to see a couple of things. One, what's the crowd, what's the attendance like? Two, how does Nebraska respond? They had zero energy, didn't care, got beat, got embarrassed. Well, does it happen again, or do they have some fight in them? When you suffer your worst loss of the year, I'm always anxious, no matter the sport, to see how you respond. Mm-hmm. What's your gut check level like? Is it 2 or 10? So we were trying to figure out the lineup, too.
Yeah, yesterday I asked Muehlheisen if he ever had a loss to like a directional school or something like that, and he couldn't think of one. I found out later that he lost to Sam Houston State at home, blew an 18-point lead, so I wanted to get his take.
At least they were up 18.
Yeah, so I wanted to get his take on how they responded to the next game and the practice day afterwards, but we didn't get to that. Yeah, I'm going tonight. I am interested, too, to see 10 Miles Stadium the other day, only about 8,000 people. I've been to the Bob where there was only about 6,000 people, so I'm wondering if that's what we might have tonight, 6 or 7,000 around there.
Do you think that's, say you have less than 10 again?
Which is likely.
Is that response to interest in the team and program, or is that just who the opponent is? I think it's a mixture of both, but if you've got a tilt one way or the other, I think it's the opponent.
A little bit. It's also $5 Tuesday at Marcus Theaters, and I consider that heavily. So I think a lot of people could choose that as well instead of going to the game tonight. So, but yeah, I mean, Southern, that doesn't
I thought you
many
just
people
did
up.
Graffiti on Tuesdays.
Graffiti.
I thought that's.
I go out to the rail. No, the railroad.
Yeah, no, I thought. No, you just. What are you doing, TJ? I'm going to art class.
Yeah.
I kind of thought that's what your thing was Tuesday.
Yeah.
You're kind of a quiet man of mystery. So.
No, there's not a single art bone in my body. So.
No, I know. I'm just messing with you here. But no, you're going tonight.
Yeah.
And why not? Go see how they respond.
Mm-hmm.
Ty, Watson, Morrow, Jacobson, Roby. Can that be our five?
I like that. I like getting Roby in there. You kind of talked me into that one pre-show. He is the future at the three position, so why not get him going there?
He can get you offense. Ty can get you offense. Glenn, I think, responds well. That was kind of hinted to the masses per Coach Miles' radio show last night, and there's a few of our affiliates that are Husker affiliates, so that was bold to open the phone line to let Husker basketball fan grab his crossbow and start firing.
Yeah, but I think Tim handled it pretty well.
Yeah,
sounds like for
did.
The most part. But yeah. And I could go with Jacobson there at the five. I was thinking either him or Shamanga at the five, but I would like to see Jacobson play more the five than the four. And then I don't really want to see Evan Taylor in the starting position anymore. Nice guy, but he's kind of a stopgap. It's just he's a body because we lost Andrew White. Mm-hmm. Nice player, but
is there a point where Anton Gill turns a corner this year?
No.
I mean, listen, sorry about the obvious question, but I'm serious, though. I'm not asking him to get me 12 and 5. I'm saying, is there a point where he goes in, take some corner threes because that's what's gone in, and just gets to the rim and is just smart with the basketball. I don't think it's as much with Gil as a guy that is – he's forcing it, but he's forcing it because he has a standard. He wants to contribute. He wants to win. It's not a selfish force.
Mm-hmm.
Now, shot selection, if you get it and just jack it from Pikowski land really early in the shot clock,
That's
selfish. A lot of his shots, I would say the majority of his shots haven't been selfish shots. They just haven't gone in.
So his strength would be getting to the hoop, but the thing is, most of the season, those runners he's taken, they just haven't been going. He's obviously not an outside shooter, so I think the way to get him going is to create something on the defensive end, get a steal. You saw him finish in transition the other night against Gardner-Webb. Get him some layups in transition, get him going a little bit, and hopefully those floaters and runners start to fall. And he's also just got to be smarter with the ball. He's had some really bad turnovers.
You know, when Mule was on yesterday, he was so adamant about confidence. And that's what this is. It has been eroded since UCLA. And you let one slip away, Virginia Tech. How is that handled by your coach and by the team after that? You were mad, yes. You were mad about Virginia Tech, yes. You were mad about Clemson. Then you built this thing up as a chance to knock out and get even against Creighton. Didn't happen. You kind of said, screw it, let's just go play ball against Kansas. And then you were totally drained Sunday between finals, maybe being yelled at, or maybe doubting yourself.
Mm-hmm. And playing the schedule you had.
Playing the schedule you had, and then you had these guys roll in, so you show up with the N on your basketball shorts, so you're going to go out and win. Or maybe you just seriously died. You had zero motivation and want to. They want to go, you know, hand out a butt kicking tonight.
Oh, yeah. Vegas, and look, they need to be ready. You're wondering about the scouting report. Southern won 22 games last year, made the NCAA tournament, returning three starters. So I think this team's capable, just like Gardner-Webb would be. I don't see why not.
No, I don't see why not either, but they need to have something go right. They need to have some sort of consistency. They need to have some sort of identity on offense. And here's a question I have, too, that I would like to see, and I don't know that it translates to wins, but I know it's a hell of a lot more fun to watch, and that's some tempo.
Yeah.
Give me some tempo. Let Jordy grab the board, outlet, reenact Showtime 87. I don't know who's Rambus, but go do it. Get up and down the court. Did you like the Rambus take?
I did.
Yeah. Did you ever watch any of his highlights on YouTube?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Him and McHale still hate each other.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, wind down hour one as Kevin Suits and Jacob Padilla on the way next hour. Hail Varsity continues.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Kevin Suits, 10 minutes away. Jacob Padilla, 30 minutes away. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, hope you're all right. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, your chance shortly about at a HailVarsity.com subscription. Let me just throw this out here, see if we catch anything with it. If I'm Tennessee boosters, if I'm the folks who have Jack Daniels money, if I'm the AD, and I have old Butchie and his self-confidence problem and his inability to recruit and translate that recruiting talent to on-field talent, and they've been talented on the field this year. I'm not going to say they're not, but clearly they've checked out. If I have assistants that are worried about their job, you know who's floating out there? Les Miles back in the SEC. Why has Les kind of been picky or passed over? He's 62. He's great at what he does.
Yeah.
You don't have to jack with beating Alabama to win your division. All you got to do is beat Florida and Georgia, which isn't easy either. But if I'm Tennessee and Butch says, you know what, I'm going to drop a growler here on the 50-yard line and go 8-5 against a depleted Nebraska team, I'm taking Butch out to Old Yeller country and I'm making a phone call to the Mad Hatter.
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Why not?
Yeah.
And if I'm Les, I'm like, sold. That way you can, every 3 or 4 years, you can play LSU and get even. I don't know if they're home and home schedule, but it's not that often. It's familiar.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously not Louisiana talent rich, but you have a ton of talent.
Yeah, but you still have a lot of talent there.
Well, think about where you're at. I mean, you're in Knoxville,
mm-hmm.
and you're not far from Atlanta.
Nope.
Which knows you anyway. You're not far from the Carolinas. I mean, South Carolina is very fertile. You're not far from the Ohio Valley.
No.
Because you sneeze and you're in Kentucky and Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're not far from Missouri.
Yeah, you're not far from
shirt and shoes are optional.
The D.C. area either.
No. I mean, you're in the middle of everything. And you're a Michigan guy. So you can always travel up that way to that Ohio Valley, Western Pennsylvania, coal mine area, too.
He just would have to figure out that quarterback thing.
He'd be okay with bugaboo. That. You know why? Because he can hire somebody to help him figure out the quarterback thing.
Cam Cameron wasn't the answer.
No, I mean, Jimbo was his guy.
Yeah.
Jimbo was the guy with that. So there's my suggestion to you.
I like it.
There's my suggestion to you. You go hire Les Miles. Even if they win it, you still go hire Les Miles.
I think you're right.
What are you waiting for, Rocky Top? Phil Fulmer ain't walking through that door. Peerless Price
no, he is not.
Ain't walking through that door. Who was the old running back for Baltimore? Jamal
Lewis?
Yeah, Jamal Lewis. Meet Ralph Brown. Fumble. Game changer. Jamal Lewis ain't running through that door. Peyton Manning and his chicken parm ain't running through that door. Go get the Mad Hatter, Tennessee. Easier decision if you just, I don't know, tell your team to worry about going to the NFL and not play the bowl game. Hour two. Coming up, Hail Varsity continues.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Edding, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore, Papa Jay, will be in tomorrow and maybe Thursday. I'm sure he'll be in his Festivus mode Thursday if he's here. He'll air grievances and break things, but that's what D linemen do. A lot to get to. We'll talk a little bit more here about Nebraska basketball tonight. Can you scream must win? also get into Nebraska and what they do against Tennessee. And again, let's keep that Les Miles to Tennessee thought in our head. And that can only happen with a Tennessee bowl loss to Nebraska. We welcome in a sportscaster of the year and a tremendous dude. His phone is fixed. Our phone is fixed. Kevin Suits, 1011 Sports with his Suitsy. Happy holidays. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so happy I can actually talk to you guys this week. And, you know, the phone service is cooperating. That was quite the ordeal a week ago.
Here's the thing, man. You've had phone issues, and I think a lot of us had phone issues last week about this time. You had restaurant issues, and you're not going to rat anybody out, but I saw on Twitter that it was cold mac and cheese night the other night that was a little disappointing. And And now you're just running around because there's no rest for you between bowl practices, Husker basketball tonight. I mean, you're everywhere. How, you have the holiday shopping done for Mama?
The holiday shopping started today for Mama.
Okay, so, good work.
Yeah, that, you know, I didn't go to the 24th this year, so I feel like I'm playing from ahead, which is something I can't say has been the case in previous years. But yeah, no, you just basically summed up my life, you know, just one thing after the next, and we're at this event and that event and kid thing and mama thing, dad thing, and, you know. Oh, yeah, by the way, got to go shopping, which I absolutely despise shopping, even grocery store. You know, keep me out of Hy-Vee or Super Saver anytime between, let's say, 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. Outside of that very large window, I might be there.
Some of us are banned, but no, we'll keep you out. We'll keep you out of there. Now we gotta start off with volleyball because it's been too long since we've talked. How do you define 2016 for me? I mean, they were awesome. Coach Cook's amazing. Texas looked unreal. What happened?
Well, I'll just go 2016 in summation. Excellent season. One of the most talented rosters Nebraska's ever had. It was going to be almost impossible to duplicate what happened the previous year, given the circumstances of winning a championship in your home state. So to match what happened in 2015 was pretty much impossible. They got really, really close. As for the national semifinal match against Texas, I, like many other people, did not see that coming. Texas is a really good team, and that was my overall takeaway from that team, is that they had so much firepower, and Nebraska never looked comfortable. It seemed like they were a bit just unsettled from the very beginning. The match started with a service error with Kelly Hunter serving. So
yep,
that was maybe a first indication of, like, something might not be right. And then once Texas started to feel like they had an upper hand in that match, man, did they run with it. So, you know, hats off to the Longhorns, and, you know, congrats to Stanford. That's a very deserving national champion.
Kevin, I want to actually stick with women's athletics and go over to Husker women's basketball. Do you have your questions prepared for Gino Auriemma tomorrow night?
You know, I have many questions for Gino Auriemma. I've met Gino before. He's a great guy. I remember when they were here for the NCAA regionals a few years ago. And the story about me and Gino would be they got in, I want to say maybe it was a Wednesday or a Thursday. It was the day before their shoot-around practice and press conference. And, you know, I just wanted to get some video of, hey, UConn's here, and, you know, help pump up that it was going to be a very special weekend of basketball in Lincoln. So I show up to the hotel. I don't remember exactly which one they were staying at in Lincoln, but I got there a smidge late because there was downtown traffic and all the one-ways downtown. So I get there. Most of the team is already off the bus. I go racing in, and Gino is in the elevator. He's ready to go up to his room. They already have their keys and everything. And I stop.
Oh, no.
I stop him. I go, Gino, I'm with the local CBS station here in Lincoln. I hate to catch you at a really bad time. Do you have, like, 2 minutes for me? And he gave me about 15 minutes. And so It actually turned out to be a great story, the fact that, you know, I popped the camera on my shoulder real quick. We ripped off a couple of really just, I'll be honest, very canned and generic questions because I didn't want to steal him too much from what his routine was going to be. But then after we got done with that, you know, I just asked him, hey, you ever been to Lincoln before? And, man, the conversation went from there. He's a great guy. I had a lot of fun just conversing with him, not only that day, but over the course of that weekend that they were here, and they won the regional and went to the Final Four.
Full disclosure, my wife and sister-in-law are going to be stalking Gino tomorrow. They bought UConn hats. They watched UConn growing up. They're both basketball nuts, so they're going. And it's pretty cool. They're excited for it tomorrow night at PBA. Suitsy, I got to ask you here about Nebraska football and just kind of the vibe you feel as we're about 10 days out from heading to Tennessee between the quarterback spot, the rumors about Nate Gary, and also just where this team is mentally going in. I think mentally they want to go out one more time. Physically, we'll see how able they are, specifically at quarterback with Riker and who knows about Tommy. What's your vibe? How are you feeling about the game that's just 10 days away?
You know, they have a lot of forces going against them. You just listed all of them, Schmitty. And so, you know, a lot of times these bowl games go down to motivation factor, you know, how bad do you want it? And my sense, just being at practice over the last few weeks, it seems to me more like an early spring ball as opposed to a postseason practice getting ready for a big bowl game. And part of that is, you know, Mike Riley and his coaching staff, they really want to get a jump on throwing some of these younger players in. I think any coaching staff would want to do that. But in terms of the actual matchup, it's really still hard to gauge how Nebraska and Tennessee stack up and how Nebraska is going to look against them, because you have those unknown parts like the quarterback position, which is so huge. So based on that, I don't think that if we're 10 days out and still can't quite gauge it, I don't think that really plays into Nebraska's favor.
I think you're right.
Kevin, I would have asked you this last week, had your phone been working, because we brought this up last week, do you get the feeling that last year's bowl game, there's more anticipation for that game, even though the team went 5-7? Yeah, here you are with a team 9-3, and there just doesn't seem to be that much juice for this bowl game?
I think you're absolutely right. I think that last year, you know, everybody kind of ha-ha'd at the fact that they made a bowl game with 5 regular season wins. You know, we even broke down how do you get into a bowl game? How do they choose between the 5-7 teams? But once that week rolled around, the Foster Farms Bowl, and you're playing a UCLA team with a really talented freshman quarterback, there was an opportunity there. There was an opportunity for fans to see Mike Riley. And you got to keep in mind, at that point in time, Nebraska had only played 12 games under a new coaching staff. So every game you learn a little bit more. So I think that played into the excitement or the curiosity of that bowl game. Now you have double that. You've seen two seasons, and the fact that Tennessee is playing in its home state and Nebraska has the issues it's currently dealing with, and I just don't feel like the juice is there. I think it might have been different if Nebraska was playing in the Outback Bowl. I really do, mm-hmm. just because it's a Jan 2 game, and you know, that's more of a featured spot for college football bowl games. Not that a Friday afternoon is bad. I think that's going to be really good because people are going to be procrastinating at work, wanting to just peek ahead into the New Year's holiday weekend. So there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on that game, no doubt about it. But just overall, from a general feel and excitement standpoint around here, I think, TJ, you raise a good point that there you can make a pretty clear argument that maybe fans were more excited for last year. But I have learned over the course of all of this that the bowl game excitement is so much different the week of the game as opposed to 2 and 3 weeks out, just because of resting guys up, and the preparation really doesn't kick in until you're about at this point, 12 to 10 days out. So, yeah, we can have this discussion now. If we have it a week from now, I think it's going to be completely different.
10-11 Sports, Kevin Suits, couple minutes left with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Kevin, Nebraska basketball responds how tonight?
I don't know. None of us. This is
Vegas said we're not touching this thing.
Yeah, man, I could see it going in the wrong direction. Really, guys.
Wow.
I honestly could. I hate saying that. The more you watch this team, the more they're pretty handcuffed offensively.
Yes,
and you have to score to win. Especially looking at what's ahead on the schedule. And some of the things that have been done personnel-wise with not starting Glenn Watson. You know, I talked to Glenn a few weeks ago, and he was talking to me about how when he grew up, he always played on winning basketball teams. So last year, dealing with a losing record was really hard for him. Now you've kind of gotten inside his head a little bit, too. So I'm just really curious, not only how does this affect the team, but how is it going to affect some of these individual guys, these uber competitors? A lot of them have had success, you know, when they were playing AAU or some sort of club basketball in high school. You know, how are they going to handle this? And that's the negative of the really hard strength of schedule, is with a young team, you worry about their psyche. So for me, a large part of my response is because of the psyche of the team. A lot of these guys are new. You don't have 4 returning starters and vets that have been there a long time and understand the coaching staff. That's not the case. These are young guys that you need to feed confidence pills. And I hope that game against Southern tonight is a confidence pill for them, because they're going to need it, because once we flip the calendar, it's going to get pretty challenging.
Lastly, your reaction to Christian McCaffrey and Lenny Fournette. What would you do in their Nikes? Do you sit? Do you play?
It's so hard. You know, this is a discussion I've really kind of stayed away from. Even some of my buddies, you know, they have their own opinions. You know, just let bygones be bygones. They can do whatever they want. Schmitty, I know I'm dodging your question. Here's my one thing, and this is, I'm going to go broad spectrum here, is that I think that these decisions speak more to the athletes and the future athletes in America, that decisions are being made for number one and number one only. The one thing that this speaks to for me is that, where is the team loyalty at? I understand that they're playing in bowl games that they wish they weren't in. I understand there's a lot of money at stake, but I think that we've kind of passed the era of, I'm going to play for the guy next to me, and I'm going to do everything for my brothers in that locker room. Not that that doesn't happen anymore, but I think that it's trending that way. And there's even slogans for companies that say, have it your way. Everybody gets to do things their way anymore. Mm-hmm. And so now these athletes are doing it their way. Forget my friends, forget my teammates. I'm getting a little worked up, so I'll take a deep breath. But that's my overall takeaway from the whole thing. Fournette, McCaffrey, the Baylor running back who decided he's not going to play in the bowl game today, sure, do as you wish, but you're making your own decision. You're an adult. You know your situation better than any of us. But I'm just curious to see what does this mean to all these young kids coming up? Will they have athlete loyalty? And as a guy that coaches baseball and football at a very youth level, I will make sure my guys understand the team aspect. And that's one thing that I've always preached, is making sure that you're having fun and you're being a good teammate. Not saying that that's not going to be the case in the future, but man, I hope that we don't lose a team aspect in the future of American sports.
No, it's got to swing back the other way at some point. We'll see if and when that happens. Kevin Suits, 1011 Sports. We are on bowl week hiatus beginning next Monday, so we'll catch up after the first of the year. Mr. Suits, thanks for a few minutes. Fun to talk today. Appreciate catching up.
Thank you so much, guys. Happy holidays.
You too, man. Happy holidays to you and your family. That's awesome. And
thank you.
Kevin Suits got his Christmas shopping, holiday shopping done. Good for him. He did hit the brakes before he went Jim Carrey there in Liar Liar. Losing his mind with the anger side of it. Here's the other side of it from a loyalty standpoint. Loyalty's got to be two-way street between player, coach, and entity. And you don't have loyalty at all once you're not useful in the NFL. Your loyalty in college is good until you sign, and then they're after the next star. In some instances, mm-hmm. not all programs.
Or your time's up.
And your loyalty for some of the feeder programs, worst case scenario, grand scheme of things, AAU. How many guys stay on the same team? They don't. They flip, they flop, they jump, they trade. And part of it's for the fun of the game, to play with other guys. Some of it's outright recruiting. You're not helping me, so I'm going to go showcase myself. I don't know when and if it will ever get back to the era of unabashed loyalty. It won't, ever. Well, you might have some individuals that are stand up, but more and more it's about looking out for number one so you don't step in number two. And he's right. The loyalty question's there. I think Stanford feels like McCaffrey was pretty loyal to them. You know, Easy Ed is thanking Lenny. And Fournette is loyal to his little girl that's 3 or 4 years old. Linwood, no idea. Jacob Padilla has an idea on Nebraska basketball. He's next on Hail Varsity Radio.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, welcome in. Jacob Padilla, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. And we are excited to talk Nebraska football. For sure, Husker Hoops with Jacob. And some of the great work he's doing on HailVarsity.com. Jacob, good afternoon, man. How are you?
Just doing well. Hanging out here at in the press box of Memorial Stadium. Just writing my football practice report.
Wonderful. How was practice? What'd you see? What'd you take away?
And it was another practice. There's still we don't.
You're fired up.
So
I love
not
it.
Not a whole lot to take away.
Yeah. Well, what's the vibe like then? Tell me the vibe you're feeling as they get ready for the roadie.
I think they're feeling good. That's something Trent Ray talked about today. He mentioned how important kind of motivation and how much players really want to give it their all in these bowl games is this time of year. He feels good about what he's seeing from his players. So I think the team's ready to play. They want to go out there and get that 10th win, send out these seniors on a high note.
Jacob Bedilla with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Find him, read him on Twitter at @JacobBedilla_. So the quarterback spot is still a question mark as Tommy was in street clothes today. You also have Riker unable to take snaps under center. Game plan-wise, though, are you confident Nebraska can figure out something to attack Tennessee? Now, Butch Jones said today that, well, game plan's in. They could play Nebraska tomorrow and be ready. Could you say the same for Nebraska right now? Obviously, injury aside, do you feel like the offense can block well enough and pass protect well enough against these Tennessee athletes?
That was precisely what Danny Langsdorf pointed to as the key, regardless who's behind center taking snaps, who's playing quarterback, who's carrying the ball. It's going to come down to those guys up front and blocking both in the passing game and the running game. As for Riker Fife, the good news is they think he might be able to get that cast off next week and start to progress a little bit more. He still hasn't done much under center, so that's a little worrisome, I suppose, but I think they expect him to be ready to play. And I think at this point, they're still not ruling out Tommy Armstrong, but I think him taking snaps playing in this game would be a big surprise. As for the game plan, they said there's not really going to be too much different. The running backs might get a few more carries than they otherwise normally would, a few that would normally go to Armstrong, but they're not opposed to running Fife either. And we saw in that Maryland game, he had a couple of nice runs there, picked up some yardage. So he's not a statue back there.
No, I mean, speed-wise, he's able to get out and motor a little bit. Jacob, do you know much at all, or can you comment at all on Nate Gary?
I'm not going to comment there about what's going on. There was no update at practice today, I don't believe. I'm hearing all the same rumors. I'm pretty sure everybody else is as well.
Okay, and there was no comment from Riley. Is that correct after practice on Nate?
That's correct.
Okay. How about Nebraska basketball? What do you expect tonight? And by the way, thank you for writing the story you did today on HailVarsity.com. Not only kind of gearing folks up for tonight against Southern, but also a reaction to Sunday. And it was classy how you did it. Very informative, very basketball heavy, but there were zero, and I don't expect this from you, but there were zero cheap shots. And it's easy to jump off the top rope and land on somebody after a 70-62 loss to Gardner Webb.
I mean, I'm a coach, obviously on a much lower level than Tim Miles is, but I kind of know the feeling where, especially the feeling of where you send out your team and they just can't throw it in the ocean. I've definitely been there before, but yeah, I was just sitting there watching that game, and there are a couple of things that just kind of stuck out to me that have not only kind of they've been building throughout the season. Obviously, the shooting woes are the problem. But it's not just the fact that they're not hitting shots. It's the impact of that on whatever else Nebraska can do offensively. And that's kind of part of what I tried to break down a little bit in that story. And then I also touched on the way the young players are being handled, the freshmen in particular, and Isaiah Roby, who I thought didn't get a fair shake in that game, that I thought he was actually playing as well as he has this season and was one of the few guys making plays, but he ended up only playing 12 minutes. And I don't necessarily agree with the reasons Miles gave for why he didn't play more. So I kind of touched on that a little bit too. And yeah, it's pretty troublesome. Some of the things that we're seeing right now offensively, they just cannot score the ball. And part of that's their shooting. And like I said, because of the poor shooting, it's tough for Ty Webster to get to the basket. It's tough for Glenn Watson to operate. Ed Morrow seeing double teams, and he's not ready to handle those at this stage. So Tim Miles is going to have to figure something out. Either that or guys are going to have to start hitting shots. It's one of those two. They're going to have to make some kind of adjustment. And that starts tonight with Southern because this is their last non-conference game. After this, they're in the Big Ten play. I mean, for in essence, a record starts over. You're 0-0 in conference play, and you're starting from scratch. And they're starting off with two tough ones too. So This is kind of their last chance to tinker with things and try to figure something out.
Okay, so speaking of the shooting, so right now you got guys like McVay, Gill, Webster, who getting extra shots up before and after practice. You even have graduate assistant Wes Eichmeier, who's a knockdown shooter here in the state of Nebraska growing up, speaking to the team. Is this something that just with more practice, more repetition, that they can improve on, or is it what I was fearing in the preseason, that there just aren't really knockdown shooters on this team?
Yeah, that's certainly a fair question, and if the answer is they don't have any knockdown shooters, then they're in trouble. And I think it's safe to say at this point they don't have any knockdown shooters, but even somewhat reliable at this point would be an upgrade. And that's Jack McVay gave you some of that last year. He shot 34% on the season overall, but had some big games where he knocked down three, four threes in a game and made a big impact in that way. And he's getting wide open looks and just not putting them in for whatever reason, from the corners, from the wing, top of the key, wherever he's getting the ball, and he's just struggling. And that right there is a serious problem, because without Andrew White, you don't have that guy. So with him leaving, that kind of elevated McVay up to that spot where he has to be able to hit shots for your offense to function. And Anton Gill, at this point, I mean, I think it's safe to call him a bust at this point. He can definitely work his way out of it. It's still only 11 games in, and he missed a lot of preseason time, but they need him to start showing something, because outside of one game, basically, he's given them almost nothing this season, and that is absolutely killing them, because otherwise they're not going to have enough scorers, enough shooters. He's not playing Jariah Horn, so that's one potential shooter that you're not getting anything out of. Michael Jacobson kind of arrived on campus as a potential stretch big option, but he's not really kind of developed that jumper. And so basically I think Jack McVay is the key right now. If he can't start hitting shots against good teams, then I don't see how this team improves.
Coach Miles has been tinkering with the starting lineup. It'll probably be tinkered again tonight. I'm curious who your starting five would be right now for the Husker men's basketball team.
Oh, geez. That's a tough one. I think there's no reason to bench Glenn Watson.
Yep.
He's had some up and down games, and he responded well. He was one of the few guys that had a good game against Gardner Webb. But I think you need to start him. It's got to be him and Ty Webster in the backcourt. Inside, you got to start Ed Morrow.
Yep.
And at this point, I don't necessarily think anybody has knocked Jacobson. I don't think Isaiah Roby's playing a lot of four, but I don't think he's necessarily ready to play that spot. And Jordy, after two promising games, Jordy Shimanga, against two top 10 teams in Creighton and Kansas, he kind of took a big step back and really struggled in that game. So I guess I'd go Jacobson, Morrow, and then for that third wing spot, I suppose, at this point, maybe just try Anton Gill and see if you can get him going, because Jack McVay's struggling right now. Maybe you bring him off the bench, play him a little more at the four, or play him and Isaiah Roby at the same time and have those two guys kind of be interchangeable. But you got to find some way to get something out of Gill, and maybe starting him with Webster and with Watson is a good way to do that.
See, I did the Ty, Watson, Morrow, Jacobson, Roby. Give me those five and let Roby just go eat. Let him go do his thing. I'm with you in that camp. Jacob Padilla with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at JacobPadilla_ on Twitter. We're going to call you Dr. Hoops, all things Nebraska basketball. And we have about 90 seconds left. We're wondering what we see. Give me a prediction tonight, how it shakes out against Southern.
Well, Southern is not a good team, and I doubt we're going to see two games in a row where Nebraska just completely throws up an egg and loses at home. I think they're going to win tonight, either whether they kind of figure things out or not. The margin of victory and the feelings coming out of the game, I think, will depend more on what Miles changes, what adjustments he makes, and which guys show up to play.
30 seconds. Is this team still responding to Coach Miles?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a question of the players quitting and not hustling or anything. At this point, it's they just can't make shots. Okay. They just can't score the ball right now.
Jacob, I can't wait to read your recap tonight on HailVarsity.com. Can't wait to hear the practice report. And, again, thanks for all your work. Thanks for the insight. Great write-up and knowledge with Hoops, my man. We'll talk soon.
Yep. Talk to you guys later.
Take care. Thanks, awesome stuff. Jacob Padilla with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. In depth, we're talking 2,000 words, HailVarsity.com, from Jacob on going into tonight and reacting to Sunday. And, again, Jacob knows his Hoops. Jacob can go whiteboard or clipboard. He knows it. And good for him. Rutgers, you got to go good and bad news, don't you? The good news is you got Uncle Jerry back as the offensive coordinator back. You had, 600G to move to New Jersey. Yes, please. The bad news, you injected what into your backside to help with strength and in speed? Yeah, you can't do that. We'll tell you that next.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Jay Moore, Black Shirt Jay, Papa Jay, in tomorrow, likely Thursday. We might have to get into a Festivus segment with him. Holiday grievances.
Mm-hmm. Feats of strength.
That was so good. Great stuff from Jacob Padilla. Thanks to him. Get to Zipline Brewing. Why? Well, it's the holiday season, and it's going to get cold again, and Zipline has some awesome sweatshirts, shirts, and stocking hats. But beyond that, they have awesome beer. The reason to get to Zipline is to get your little holiday cheer on and get that person you like or maybe want to like a Zipline stocking hat or some gear. Zipline Brewing, it's been in Lincoln for a few years here, and they invite you down to see both of their tap rooms, West O and the new location, Southeast Lincoln, 56th and Pine Lake. The Modern Beer Hall. It is fantastic. The Modern German Beer Hall. 24 taps, neighborhood bar, community tables. You'll run into friends there, or you'll make new ones when you find time to get to Zipline. And if you're on your way into Lincoln, I'm excited. Grandma and Grandpa are coming in from Western Nebraska. I'm going to take Grandpa to Zipline. He doesn't know it yet. But find your way to Zipline, either the tap room on West O or the 56th and Pine Lake location. Here's your hours at 56th and Pine Lake, Monday through Saturday, noon to 10, Sunday, noon to 10. And Zipline is there for you on draft or in six packs across the state at your local grocery store or bottle shop. And be sure to visit if you're coming in from outside of Lincoln this holiday season. If you're in Lincoln, find your way to Zipline. And Zipline brewed in Lincoln, but poured for all of Nebraska. Wishing you happy holidays. 466-377-6800, 825-5865. So Two things to tackle. One, Nebraska basketball responds how tonight. Are you going? And why are you going? To see the freak show or to cheer him on? And you also have the Christian Lenny Linwood triangle of I'm passing up my bowl game. And I asked you this earlier. What would you do if it was a Nebraska player? You'd lose your freaking mind if it was a Nebraska player, I think. And it's not been an issue. But it could be someday an issue. A lot of times you're in position to enhance your draft status based on your opponent because you're getting somebody from the Pac-12 or the SEC. McCaffrey's touched the ball a billion times. Lenny's touched the ball 2 billion times against very physical defenses. They're checking out. I get it. And the only thing I have to say is if their teammates are okay with it, then you should be okay with it. I know I'm telling you how to think. That's not normally what I do. But really, that's who matters. Mm-hmm. That's who matters, is the teammate, the coach, are they okay with it? Nebraska basketball, I think they come out PO'd. I think they come out angry. And I know Vegas hasn't put a number on this thing. I think they win by about 17. I think Morrow stays monstrous down low. I think Glenn shoots it, gets some room to do so. I think they get some isolation going for Ty. And I think it's going to be a Roby coming out party. I'm going to call Roby for double digits.
All right.
Remember that thunderous dunk he had against South Dakota?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my man can hop like T.J. Henning. I don't know if he can finish like T.J. Henning. No. But I want more Roby all the time, period. And I think Nebraska comes back and sends Southern back to warmer climates unhappy.
Yeah, T.J. Henning has no hops, so can't be compared to him at all. The two things that, looking at the stats, the Southern does well is they get shots up and they look like to be a decent rebounding team. So I'd like to see Ed to continue to crash the boards on them. And, yeah, let's get Roby some run. Let's get Jeriah Horn some run. Let's see what those guys can do.
Let's just get into the paint, dump it off to Easy Ed and let him thunder dunk.
That'd be nice, too.
I mean, I love how good he is, how graceful he is, the art form of rebounding. How good he is at finding inside position and getting offensive and defensive rebounds. And even his shot around the baseline is decent, okay? You don't want him just stepping back from the baseline all day long, but he can face and make. Mm-hmm. And his touch around the rim's really good, too. It just comes down to when he gets the offensive glass, when he takes that power step to gather and then go back up. Are there 14 guys around you? And if so, kick it out.
Yep.
Now he's going, they aren't going to make it. So I'm better off
that
trying.
That probably is some of his thought process.
Seriously, if I give this up here 2 feet from the basket, I got a better shot of going to the line. And it hadn't worked against Creighton and it didn't work against Kansas.
Yeah.
I got a better shot of going to the line than kicking it out for a three.
No,
I hope he didn't think of that, but he's got to be thinking that.
I mean, a lot of the times he is double-teamed down there with a lot taller guys, and I'm like, Ed, you're forcing
six,
a little
seven.
Bit. He's 6'6", yeah, something like that. So, but, yeah, that honestly might be, you know, he sees stats. He can see how well this team is shooting from three. That honestly might be part of his thought process.
No, so are you going tonight? And if so, why are you going to PBA? Hopefully to cheer on Nebraska, not to watch the prolonged agony. They come out, they win. They win by nearly 20 tonight.
Yeah. The everyday fan, they can get up close tonight since the red zone, they're on break. Go sit down in that
lower
bowl.
Were you one of those red zone kids that you found a cot in back and you slept? You, despite being holiday break time, you didn't leave?
No, holiday break time, except for like maybe I think we played USC my sophomore year over holiday break. I think I was in the red zone for that. Otherwise, I would go and
was that
sit.
The Tim Pink Floyd USC squad?
It was. I know the
was
Huskers were down
Stacey?
Like I think the Huskers were down 20 that game and come back to win it. Drake Baronic, that was his lone year with us.
Okay.
He was there for that one. But yeah, usually holiday break games, red zone, I would go back and sit in the comfy seats of my grandpa's season tickets. So.
How's the red zone receive that? Do they understand, or are you?
Yeah, they received it well because a lot of them also wouldn't be at those games at all. So
okay,
they received it well.
All right. We'll give you a chance right now to qualify. Well, qualify. We'll just give it to
we'll
you.
Give
Caller
it to
six.
Away.
Caller six now, HailVarsity.com. Premium 6 month online subscription. Caller six now, 466-3776, 466-3776. Toll free 1-800-825-5865. The ultimate online fan experience, a great community with Hail Varsity. Access to message boards, constant reserved online premium content, inside info, in-depth recruiting analysis, up-to-the-minute breaking news. Caller 6 now, a 6 month premium online subscription for you. Caller 6, 466-3776, 466-3776, toll free 1-800-825-5865. Caller 6 now, and enjoy that 6 month premium online subscription to HailVarsity.com. Caller 6, TJ will get you the hookup. Thanks to Aaron Babcock for this. We'll wind down a Tuesday night. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. Caller 6, 800-825-5865. Back with a final thought after this.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
All right, if you're going to cheat, are you going to be any good at it? Or are you as bad at cheating as you are at football? Rutgers, you're on the clock. So the good news is Jerry Kill has lost, what did I read, like 90 pounds, 80 pounds?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
And he is in the best shape of his life, and he's getting 6 hours of sleep versus 2 hours of sleep. With his, and the battle against epilepsy is being won by Jerry, which is awesome because I love Jerry Kill. He is now coaching. He's making $600,000 a year as the new offensive coordinator for Rutgers. That is awesome. The bad news is after you hired Jerry a day later, you have a notice of allegations sent to you by the NCAA. Thank you, Coach Flood. Thank you, Dr. Monaco. I always think of like Kelly Monaco. She was on Guiding Light and was a playmate. When I think of Monaco, I think of her. Sorry. I think of Dr. Monaco. I think of some dude with nose hair that's got 4,000 syringes sitting on the table telling the O-line and D-line to get in line.
Is there like a Monaco Beach or a Monaco really nice place to travel? I think that's what I think of.
This, yeah. You're not thinking Morocco, are you?
Maybe.
That's Monaco. In North Africa.
Okay. Get my Akos mixed up every once in a while.
Monaco Beach? I don't know.
For Rutgers, come on, man.
16 players tested positive for banned substance between 01 and 15. 18 other positive tests.
You give 34 players steroids and you're still that bad at football. You're still losing games 70-10.
Do we know, in fairness to Rutgers?
Okay, yeah. We don't necessarily
Maybe they were
know.
Vitamin B shots.
Maybe.
Not Toradol.
Maybe they were just Adderall.
Yeah.
Come on,
can you
man.
Inject Adderall?
I would think. I would
Speed?
Think one could. Yeah.
I don't know. We'll keep it. I have to ask Nurse Bunny on that.
Yeah.
Hey, can I get some injections of Adderall? She's like, shut up and die. No. So, yeah, Rutgers, the good news, bad news situation. Good news is Uncle Jerry's coaching. Bad news.
You got all these violations. Coming for you.
Well, what happens to Flood? I mean, does he get slapped with a trestle-like ban of 5 years, a show cause? Because it's one thing to cheat. It's one thing to overtext. It's one thing to have a bag man. It's one thing to... It's another thing to be this blatant with bodily harm.
No, because Calipari, he's had sanctions at UMass and at Memphis, but I don't think he's ever sit out for any time.
No, he moved on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Kentucky and excuse me, the UMass thing was, he was able to move to Memphis, and Memphis moved to Kentucky, and it never followed him. He's kept his nose clean, obviously, at Kentucky, or they've gotten better at it. Oops, that wasn't nice. Okay, so have fun, Rutgers. Less miles to Tennessee.
I like it.
Make that happen, Rocky Top. Lose to Nebraska in the bowl game. That's TJ Henning. I'm Chris Schmidt. I hope you enjoyed today. Thank you for your time. Brad Edwards tomorrow. Mike Babcock tomorrow. Jay Moore tomorrow. Talk to you at 4 on Hail Varsity.